Come tonight to the 15th verse of the 11th chapter of Mark. Read verses 15 through 19. Mark 11, 15 through 19. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple. Overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry a vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of thieves?" The scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his teaching. And when evening had come, he went out of the city. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We come to look tonight at the cleansing of the temple, as usually called. Some think this incident is the immediate cause of Christ's death. The opposition became serious about getting rid of him now because he was hurting them at the point of their finances, their pocketbook. But what was it that stirred Jesus to such violent action? And it was a violent action. We almost think it's out of character with the one we usually think of as gentle Jesus, meek and mild. John's account of it, he said Jesus took some cords, and made a whip and drove these people out of the temple. You can imagine something of the confusion and the clamor and all that was going on. Well, first, his protest was not against the system of sacrifice or even against the half-shekel temple tax. Each person had to pay a tax of a half-shekel each year, 36 to 37 cents. Not much, we think, but a working man in that day made 16 to 17 cents a day. So better than 2 days' wages was the temple tax. But Jesus rejoiced in the worship of the temple when it was done in sincerity. The temple was dear to him. We see this in going there from the time he was 12 until this time. Jesus' wrath was stirred because the house of God was being desecrated. The temple itself was a very relatively small building. It contained the holy place and the holy of holies into which only the high priest might enter, and he only on the Day of Atonement. But the smaller temple was surrounded by a vast space which was occupied by successive and ascending courtyards. The outer courtyard was called the court of the Gentiles, into which anyone might come. That's the place that you and I could go, the court of the Gentiles. Anybody could go into that. But for a Gentile to go beyond this was to be put to death. The Gentiles only in the outer court. And then there was the court of the women, which any Israelite, man or woman, might come, but no Gentile. And then there was the court of the Israelites, and in this court, any Jewish man might come, but no Jewish woman. And lastly, there was the court of the priest, in which only the priest might enter. So in the center of the thing, as we see it, was the temple itself, the Holy of Holies, but outside the court of the Gentiles, the court of the Israelites, the court of the women, then the court of the Israelites, and then the court of the priest. And in this court of the priest was the great altar of the burnt offering, the altar of incense, the seven-branched lampstand, the table of showbread, and the great brazen laver. Back of all of this was the temple itself, All of this could be called the temple precincts. And all sometimes, all of this courts were sometimes referred to as the temple. Now, scripture takes place in the court of the Gentiles. This was supposed to be a place where people of all nations could come and meditate and worship God. Everybody was supposed to be allowed to come into this court of the Gentiles and there meditate and worship God. But in the situation as Jesus found it, it would have been next to impossible for anyone to worship there. This court of the Gentiles had become a shortcut from the eastern part of the city to the Mount of Olives. It had become a thoroughfare for business errands rather than a place of prayer. You can imagine if you were in a place trying to pray and people were running back and forth all the time through it. We read in verse 16, though, that Jesus would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. He stopped this running back and forth through the temple. And there were in the court of the Gentiles the booths of the money changers. As I said, the law was that everyone must pay a temple tax of 1/2 shekel each year. This temple tax had to be paid in a particular kind of coinage. For ordinary purposes, ordinary market business transaction out in the street, the people could use Roman or Greek or Syrian or Egyptian or Phoenician or Tyrian coins. All were equally valid. But the temple tax had to be paid in the shekel of the sanctuary, a particular coinage used only for this purpose, only in the temple. To do this, they had to pay a fee to change this money from their money to the temple shekel. They had to pay a fee to the money changers. And should their coin value exceed the tax, they had to pay another fee before they could get any change back. Had the money here, wanted to buy a shekel, pay my temple tax, and I had to pay a fee for it. And if I gave them too much money, I had to pay another fee to get my change back. So it was that most people would wind up paying a half day's wages just to get their money changed. Also, the people wanted to buy a dove or other animal for sacrifice. They could buy it at a reasonable price outside the temple. But the temple inspectors that had to check out each animal to be sure that it was perfect were sure to find a blemish in any animal that you brought in from the outside, bird or lamb. Thus, there were doves and other animals for sale within the court of the Gentiles. Not only were the tables of the money changers, not only people running back and forth, but doves and lambs and other animals there for sale, for sacrifice. Outside the temple, a pair of doves could be bought for as little as about 18 cents. Inside the temple, the cost was as much as $3.65. With the average wage earner made only about 16 cents a day, they'd have to pay several days' wages inside the temple to get the dove that they needed for sacrifice. The practice of the money changers and the sellers of the animals was extortion and graft. And to make matters worse, this business was all done in the temple, and it belonged to the family of Annas, who had been high priest. All done in the name of religion. So Jesus' wrath was stirred because of the desecration of the temple. A place that was supposed to be a place of prayer had become a thoroughfare and a marketplace. When the people going through, the animals and their noises and smells and the clamor of the people, it was next to impossible for anyone to find a corner of quiet to worship there in the court of the Gentiles. And Jesus' wrath was stirred because the pilgrims to the city at this holy time were being exploited. People need their money changed. People needed animals for sacrifice. These two needs of the people could have been real opportunities to serve, to help people, to meet their needs, to worship. Could have been. But rather, they had been used as an opportunity to take advantage of the people. People were exploited and used as means to enrich the pockets of others. And to make matters worse, again, it was all done under the cloak of religion. You can be sure that any time people take advantage of situations, people's needs, people's ignorance, to unfairly treat them, it will provoke the wrath of God. This is always an evil thing. It is done in the name of worship. If it's done in the name of serving God, it's made even worse. But a third possibility is why Jesus was so disturbed may have been the exclusiveness to be found in the temple. He quoted Isaiah 56:7, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." He said, "You've made it a den of thieves." In that very same house that was to be a house of worship for all nations, there was a wall beyond which no Gentile could pass without facing the penalty of death. A barrier put up to keep these people away from God. So not only was the court set aside for the Gentiles being desecrated, where the tidings of the one God should have been made known, there was marketing and greed and rabble, and the Gentiles were not even allowed to enter much of the temple. And for that matter, as we've already noted, the women were not allowed to enter much of the temple. And the Jewish men could not enter into the court of the priest. And the priest could not enter into the Holy of Holies except one man, one time a year. A house of prayer for all nations had become so exclusive that it barred people from finding a place of prayer and a place of worship. It may well be said that Jesus was moved to anger by the exclusiveness and the separation of Jewish worship, and he wished to remind them that God so loved the world, all people, and not just the Jews. What does all this have to say to us here in the 21st century? Very briefly, I think it the same things that made Jesus angry then makes him angry today. Anytime the house of God, the place set aside for worship, is used for unholy purposes, it's sure to stir the wrath of God. Anytime people's needs, hurts, circumstances, or ignorance is used not as a way to bring help to them, but to take advantage of them, you can be sure that God's is stirred. I'm sure you've seen it. I've seen it more times than one. There's a man at home that bought and sold cattle when I was a youngster. And he'd been trying to buy a cow from a poor black farmer. I think he'd offered him $50 for it. The man didn't want to sell his cow. But he had an emergency one day and he just had to have $25 right now. And so he went to see this man and offered to sell him his cow. He said, "I've got to have $25 today." And that's where he made his mistake when he told the man how much money he had to have. So the man took advantage of him and said, "I'll give you $25. Already offered him twice that. But the man could not find another buyer for his cow. So he let it go. To take advantage of someone's trouble, to take advantage of someone's need, to take advantage of someone's circumstance, to take advantage of someone's ignorance, surely stirs the heart of God. It's quite common in my home area right after the Second World War when the demand for lumber to build and thus the demand for timber became so common, so great. It was not uncommon at all for men to go out and talk to some poor, ignorant farmer that had no knowledge of the value of what he had and to wind up buying his farm for less than the value of the timber on the land. Turn around and sell the timber and own the land. Free. Nothing illegal. Something very immoral, non-Christian. I knew a man, as a youngster businessman in my hometown, had a prominent place in church, in the First Methodist Church, where I went Sunday after Sunday. And it was his testimony that he'd made his fortune off of other people's misfortune. Something stirs in the heart of God when people take advantage of other people's needs and hurts and circumstances and ignorance and use it as a way to take advantage of them rather than to help them. And each time the church builds barriers that effectively shut out from worship someone, anyone, for whom Christ died, you can be sure of the unhappiness of God. Our purpose as individuals and as a church, as we said last Sunday evening, is to love as Jesus loved, to seek to save the lost, to care for the needy, the sick, and those that are in prison. Our task has not changed. We're to be lovers as Jesus loved. As a body of Christ, we obey His commands. Anything of disobedience is surely not pleasing to God. Jesus reminds us once more that His house is to be a house of prayer for all people, and we should ever strive to keep it that way. This is not a church that any one of us owns. This is God's church. And we, at best, are members. And we stand with open arms and open hearts to invite people in love. Lord Jesus, we thank You so much for Your church. We thank You for the church that welcomed us. That welcomed me when I was a little child. For the church has always been there for me. For the church has given me so much of life. And may we as Your church be faithful. And be truly a place of prayer for all people. And as we join in prayer and love, we'd go out to invite others in and share the wonder and the glory of the gospel. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I love the church. I have a lover's quarrel with it sometimes when I see things that I don't like. But I know the church is not perfect, never has been. If it would have been, there'd be no place in it for me or you. But as imperfect as we are, we love one another. And we love each other, love the church.